You want to like it first, or you want to just keep on talking and then get to it later?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Oh, sure. Let's just do this, baby. Come on.
Lock and load, baby. It's political QRM once again.
We are back. Hello. We are here, Lou and me.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I was drinking my ginger ale. Sorry.
Oh, okay. You're allowed. It's a beautiful...
I wanted to wet my whistle in advance of the pending conversation.
Okay. That's good. I don't know about you, but it's a beautiful day here in New Hampshire.
It's a beautiful day here in Maine.
Finally stopped raining.
It has not rained in 8 hours.
Wow, I think I've hit 24 right now.
You know, something of a record for June.
So let's just dive right into this. There's just so much information out there.
Let's dive right into San Fran Grand Man.
Oh, man, that woman, I'll tell you, I think that she and Biden are drinking from the same bottle. Both of them.
You know what? I used to have a saying. When people would be weird around me, I'd say, listen, I don't know what you're smoking, but, you know, either put it out or share, you know?
Exactly.
And you know what, those two, I don't even want them to share. Just put it down and step away.
Yeah. Yeah, she really, I don't know, she considers herself a Catholic, and yet she comes out this week with...
What? She's the only one who does.
Yeah, I know, exactly. She comes out with two, I'll tell you, I don't even know how to describe these comments, yes. I think they're
comments?
More insults. Insults. Or
that's better.
Yeah, okay, insults. One thing first thing she said was that my religion is on Sunday.
Huh?
I go to church on Sunday, and that's it. I don't carry my religion outside of the church.
We talk about CEs, and you know exactly what I mean by CEs, Christmas and Easter.
Yep, and it's just like, so she's trying to make the case for Obamacare and all the other stuff that's going on with the forced contraception, you know, on the Catholic Church and everything. But her second comment was, this one I really think takes the cake with me, although both of them really just really messed me up. I mean, I screamed. I mean, nobody was here. Now, she said, her next one was, Catholic Archdiocese were not speaking for the Catholic Church when they sued administration.
Okay.
Somebody want to give me the logic on that one? I don't think so.
I'm sorry. I don't care what you describe yourself as. Catholic, Buddhist, Jewish, pagan, Lutheran, evangelical.
Okay.
Tinto,
okay.
How die.
All right.
I don't care. There is no such thing as a religion that you have only on Sunday.
That's right.
Or Saturday if you're Adventist. But there is no such thing. Or Friday if you're Jewish.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a religion you have one day a week. If you have a religion one day a week, you do not have religion.
That's right.
Period. I mean, that's all there is to it. Being something nominally is okay.
Right.
You know, if you're nominally wealthy, if you're nominally sane, you know,
but
you can't be nominally Catholic. If you're going to be Catholic in any other way than 24/7, then you're lapsed Catholic.
Or you're some other religion masquerading as a Catholic. You're masquerading as a Catholic.
Masquerading is perfect, beautiful, brilliant. But can't be Catholic on Sunday, Jewish on Friday, you know, Adventist on Saturday. Can't do that. If you believe you can do that, theologically speaking, and I'm in a position to say this, theologically speaking, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
W-O-W-R-O-N-G, period. Wrong. There is no such thing. And let's go from the premise that she's wrong about her faith and move on. And move on. She's, Hot Air said that she whines about Catholics having this conscience thing.
I know.
And you know,
but now, come on, what, you know, what religion
media
doesn't...
Matters says, Media Matters says that we twist her conscience comment to claim... You know, Nan, put the brownies back in the oven. If you'd spend less time with the brownies and more time with the wafer, you'd be a much better person.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she's like just supposed to be the ultimate Catholic in her mind, or the ultimate Catholic in the administration's mind.
Do they make communion wafers with that stuff in them in California?
Probably. I don't know. I don't even know if there are any.
I'm sorry. That was a terrible thing for me to say. But
well, no. I mean, come on.
Illustrative. It's illustrative.
Yes.
Okay. You know, you know, look, I'm not Catholic.
I know.
But.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? This is what a lot of people in a lot of opinion columns, you know, letters to the editor that I've been reading, a lot of people have been saying, you know, I may not disagree, I may not agree with my church on everything, and I may take issue with something, but you know what? You attack the Catholic Church and try and make them do something that they are not supposed to be doing, well, then, darn it, I am going to stand up behind them. And yeah. No, seriously, a lot of people are starting to say that. I mean, how? Because you know what? This actually goes to a larger issue. It's basically freedom of religion in America. It does. It goes to a larger issue.
Well, you know, here's the part that bothers me. First of all, I have stopped reading a lot of the quote-unquote comments under a lot of this stuff, whether it's Hot Air, whether it's The Blaze, whether it's...
some of them are idiots, my God.
You know,
they're
Media
trolls.
Matters and that. These people get out of control. And listen to me, conservatives out there who are listening to us, please, do not let me dissuade you from commenting underneath any article anywhere you find it. Please do not allow me to dissuade you, but please format your comments in Word, use the spelling grammar checker, copy and paste.
Yeah.
Because when I see conservative comments that are badly spelled, no punctuation, no grammar, no capitalization, they tend to qualify us as a bunch of redneck, hillbilly, Bible-thumping, illiterate, you know. And you know what? When you post to a comment and you don't check your spelling and you don't use grammar and you don't use punctuation, they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter what you said. The way you said it just automatically validated what they say about us. Please, please. Pay attention to what you're saying. Now, that said, I stopped reading them because the vitriol just gets my stomach so upside down and inside out. For those of you who've looked for me on Facebook, you notice I have a very, very, very limited presence, and I'm getting less and less by the moment. As of 1909 Eastern on 20 June, I will no longer be on Facebook, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
These people with their comments on both sides, absolutely. Let's just take the freedom of religion issue, the First Amendment issue, and the fact that the left completely completely does not understand the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. Heritage.org will get you a free copy of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. I recommend highly that you get one and read it. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, get one and read it and understand it. Congress shall establish no law is not the same thing as saying the separation of church and state.
Oh, yeah, I know. They
when
don't get it.
Liberals go on and on and on about saying things like, we don't want to denigrate your religion, we just want to prevent it from ruling our lives.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, but they
because I don't want anybody's religion ruling my life. I don't like Sharia law.
Yeah, but they're perfectly willing to let that come into this country.
And I couldn't live on, I'm sorry, myself personally, I know better. Look, I'm a sinner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know I could not live a Talmudic life.
No, neither could I, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but the major difference between those two religions is that one doesn't care whether or not you become an Orthodox Jew, but damn if they're not going to kill you if you don't want to become Muslim.
I saw a picture in one of my final days on Facebook somebody had posted of, I'm not sure, folks, no letters please, I'm not sure if it was a Hasid or a Lubavitcher, I'm not sure which, but a Jew.
Okay.
In the garb you would expect to see walking down Broadway.
Okay.
Or Flatbush Avenue,
I
think. And it says, at the top of the JPEG, it says, cannot eat pork.
So?
And on the bottom of the JPEG, it says, has no desire to impose that on you.
That's right. Exactly.
This is the point, boys and girls.
Yep. That is the
point. We don't intend to impose on you the fact that you cannot get birth control. We do not intend to impose on you the fact that you can't have access to anything you want in the United States of America as it stands today. We, A, don't need to say we agree with it, and B, sure as hell don't have to pay for it.
Yep. That's true. You know, the thing is, though, is that you have these people that work for Catholic institutions, whether it's a hospital or, you know, a rest home or whatever. And, you know, the Catholic Church will provide an insurance policy, health insurance, and yet they're not going to pay for contraception. Okay, fine. It's good. But you can go to the Walmart and you can spend $8 of your own and get a prescription for the pill. So, you know, I don't really think this has anything to do with, oh, they're not taking care of my health care. It has more to do with, I want to rub this religion out. And there are people that actually...
You know, there is the nexus, Lexus. There, that's right there. That's it. It hasn't got a doggone thing to do with
$8. That's right.
It really does.
It has to do with more ideology.
Funny story. I'm going to digress, and you're not going to stop me. Funny story.
Want to bet? I got the switch over here, baby. No, just teasing.
I was taken in a complete and total stupor to Mercy Hospital in Portland.
Okay.
I was absolutely positively out of my mind with fever, with jaundice, shrieking pain. I swear to God, if I ever had pain like that, kill me.
Okay.
Absolutely out of it, completely and totally out of it, nowhere near anywhere in my right mind. Not that my right mind is all that.
Thank you. You just saved me from. Okay.
Yeah, I figured you were going.
Anyway, I was going there.
So they wheeled me into Mercy Hospital in Portland, Maine. Mercy Hospital is a Catholic hospital.
No. Okay. Go ahead,
it is. No,
I know. Okay.
And, you know, of course, in the lobby of a Catholic hospital, they've got the Sacred Heart statue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 6'6".
Yep, you betcha.
Right there. Open arms. Sacred Heart, crown of thorns wrapped around it, the whole bit of flame, you know, the whole bit. You know exactly the iconography of which I speak.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
For those of you who don't, look it up, Sacred Heart statue. I was in my street clothes when they took me in the ambulance.
Yeah.
And I must absolutely, positively props to the Casco rescue squad.
Mm-hmm.
They did not miss a single pothole. with. As a matter of fact,
Wait a minute. You're up in Maine. You can't help it. Come on.
I felt it swerve to make sure they got that last one on the end of my own street. You know, but they wheeled me in, and they had to stop and check me in directly under the statue.
Okay.
I took out a $5 bill, and I said to the ambulance attendant, you know, Brjesu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, tape this, please, to the statue.
Except what you were saying. Go ahead.
Now, you remember Aves, the feasts?
Sure.
Where the statues were carried down the street and people would tape?
Yes.
Money to them?
Yes.
As a,
they still do it. They still do it. North End, Boston.
Nobody knew what I was talking about. My loving wife, God bless my loving wife, said, wheel him in there, please. But after that, she explained to the ambulance people that what I was trying to do was tape $5 to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so out of it, I thought he was going by in a prick. Anyway, funny story ended. Left square bracket slash right square bracket, okay? It was a funny story. I didn't know I was out of my mind.
No, it's perfect. That's perfect. I'll tell you, that makes complete sense to me. Makes complete sense.
Anybody who listen, Nikki, he's gonna understand. Jason, he's gonna pastor. I'm sorry, Bishop Jason, he's gonna Bishop Termatavio is gonna understand. You know, anybody who grew up in our neighborhood is going to understand. The rest of you, Mitigani, I'm sorry, you're not going to understand. Talk to one of your Italian friends.
No. Wait a minute. I can give them a good reference. Godfather 2. Movie Godfather 2, when they focus on the Italian neighborhood in New York City, and they had the La Festa, and that...
Okay, yeah.
Remember that what the heck was his name? The, forget his name, but he was the old, Don? No, he wasn't really a Don. They used to call him...
One of Don Corleone's or whatever?
Yeah, well, before... The guy that he killed, Michael Corleone... Not Michael Corleone. Vito. Killed. Right? And it was a time of a feast, and they had carried the statue down, and he, you know, put money on it. So...
In my neighborhood, we had Avesta San Gennaro.
Mm-hmm.
We had Avesta de Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Avesta de San, get this, hold on. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Avesta San Stanislaus.
No.
Yeah, there was a
there's a St. Stanislaus, an Italian?
Can't say, well, that's the thing. There was no Stanislaus in Italian, but that church on Oliver Street was the only non-Italian church in the entire neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
And it was the Church of St. Stanislaus.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, so they had their own feast. Nobody spoke whatever the heck it was they spoke. I'll be honest with you. I was a 6-year-old. I don't know what they spoke. But, yeah, we had, oh, my goodness, we had feasts. We had 6 of them every year.
We had Feast of St. Rocco.
Good Rocco, yes. Yes. I think I went to that feast.
Beginning of September. Right over
yeah,
the day
I think
weekend.
I went to St. Rocco and San Giuseppe Lavor,
mm-hmm.
You know, St. Joseph the Worker, which was recently. You know, we had feasts all over the place, and I went to the Chiesa San Giacomo,
mm-hmm.
St. James Church, which was on Lafayette Street, and they had...
They still go on in the North End. In Boston?
I'm sure they do. I mean, my uncle, Carmine.
I went to one last year. It was wonderful.
My baptism, confirmation, communion, all that stuff was at the Chiesa San Giacomo. That's the Church of St. James, down Neck North. And people who are listening from anywhere near there know what I'm exactly, but Nikki knows what I'm talking about. And, you know, I went to that church for so many years, and they tore it down. The only thing left is the hospital. I went to school there. It was a Catholic school. The church was there. The only thing left is the hospital, and it's on Jefferson Street, and corner of Jefferson and Elm, down Neck. And, you know, I went there, and we had our own set of feasts, and we had, you know, the other churches had their own sets of feasts, but it was all in our own ward of Newark. So, I'm sorry, Amory, I'm sorry. You're getting me waxing all nostalgic here, and on top of the fact that it hasn't done a doggone thing to do with anything, it's
okay.
All right. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, because you know something? I am not Catholic. I am indeed lapsed Catholic. No two ways about it. However, His Holiness, or His Excellence, I don't know what you call a bishop these days. Bishop...
His Eminence?
It knows exactly what I'm talking about. This has got to do with the fact that he has referred to me as the most Catholic man he knows.
Wait a minute. How long will it be until these little feasts that we have each year are going to be attacked by, LGBTs?
They already have?
Okay, I did not know that. And say, oh, you can't have this.
In the late 1980s, early 1990s.
But they can have their gay pride parade, right? And God forbid...
Most of the feasts in my neighborhood, my old neighborhood, were already gone. Largely because... And believe me, it's not because the churches were gone. The churches were still there. Mount Carmel was still there.
Right. Yeah, but they changed.
Holy Trinity Church was still there. But they stopped having feasts largely because of the inclusivity that was demanded of them.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, rather than worry about, you know, what they would be forced to cognizance that is outside their paradigm, they stopped them.
Yeah.
And that's a pity.
Yeah.
That's a pity. But, you know, there's a Kenny Rogers song, Know When to Hold 'Em, Know When to Fold 'Em.
Yep.
When to walk away and when to run.
Right.
You know, pick your battles. Make sure the juice is worth the squeeze, in other words.
That's right. Yep.
You know, so you know what? It's easier to just, I mean, there are churches in my part of Newark that actually have catacombs.
Really?
And the different saints, whichever saint with her eyes on a tray, whichever saint with the,
Cecilia
with the, what died of a thousand cuts. You know, and this was graphic stuff, but it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And these churches still exist.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have their, you know, they still have, as a matter of fact, the Crystal Cathedral out in California. Robert Schuller's old Crystal Cathedral that some of our evangelical friends may recognize from the broadcasts of the Hour of Power was sold recently to the Catholic Diocese of Orange.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, and it was just re...
Was it consecrated?
Listen, it was just reconsecrated as the Cathedral of Christ.
Ooh.
By the Catholic Diocese of Orange in California. And, it, I mean, come on, face it, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have no animosity whatsoever to Reverend Schuller. I really don't.
Nope.
You know, he struck me very much as a very Fulton Sheen...
Yeah, Bishop Fulton. Kind of a
guy, you know, the Hour of Power versus the Power of Positive Thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things. And look, it's nice. It's nice. And, you know, look, what were they going to do? Tear it down? No. Another faith could buy the grounds and put use to a building for the glorification of their God. And I don't care what God it is. All right. I shouldn't say that. As long as they didn't build minarets around it, I'm happy.
Thank you.
But, you know.
Yeah, if it had been, you know, reconsecrated as a synagogue, that's fine, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, temple, Buddhist temple, why not?
Well, I don't see the Buddhists with
yeah,
that
I
much.
Know. That's true, that's but, true. That's, whatever, I was just saying, you know.
Or, yeah, but you know. Look, this is all good stuff. This is, and people say, oh, yep. when was that,
what
magazine cover that said God is dead?
That was what, 1980, no, 1970 something? I can't remember.
Oh, no, it was the Gray Lady. It was the Gray Lady. It was the New York Times.
It was the New York Times.
Headline that said God is dead. And I remember a political cartoon of the time, and I think it goes back further than that. It said, God is dead, Seth Nietzsche. And
sure, yeah.
Nietzsche is dead, Seth God. But look, God is not dead.
Nope.
God is not only not dead, God's doing just fine, thank you.
Yep.
Is
God dead?
Yeah. It doesn't matter which God.
Wasn't it Time Mag? Well, wait a minute. Time Magazine. No, it was Time Magazine. It was an article. It said, "Is God dead?" It wasn't the New York Times. I just checked.
Oh, okay. All right. You're checking for me. Thank you.
Yep. Is God dead? Time Magazine. It's a lot of times you get them confused.
But
I get them confused too because they're both liberal brands.
And it doesn't matter which God. God is not dead.
No.
And not only is God not dead, but his followers are not dead. And the more this tiny, Bob Beckel.
Oh, here we go. Tiny?
Bob Beckel said that there are 23 or 24 or 25% of the American public who identify themselves as progressive or liberal. I don't remember which word he used. It doesn't really matter. That's still a quarter, people. That's one quarter. 23, 24, 25%. That's one quarter of the population. Describe themselves as these liberal progressive God killers.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough people to stage a siege. But they have control of the media and they have, you know, the ear of the politicians and all this other stuff. So it seems like it's much larger. God's people, and again, I don't care which God, you know, to quote Conan, what ugly God do you pray to? Well, I don't care if it's an ugly God, a pretty God, a gorgeous God, you know, a magnificent, omnipotent, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
God's people are not dead.
Nope. I think they're very much alive, and I think that Nancy Pelosi is going to come back to eat her words. I really
and
do.
I don't believe she will, however.
Oh, no. No, I mean, I don't think she will say, oh, I was wrong or anything. She will never do that. I mean, she just builds her whole career and her life on lies, as it is. And I haven't really had any real respect for her, but God, I'll be honest with you. When I think that she was two steps away from being president, I'll tell you, it sends chills up my spine. Let's hope that never happens again. Let's make sure that never happens again.
It's not going to happen again. There's no way it'll happen again. I mean, you're just not going to see that. Well, you know what? It may happen again, but thank whatever God you want, not in our lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
I am growing more and more confident by the moment that this stuff is, that these wrongs shall right, that the truth will out, that all the good is in a position the way it was in 1979.
Yep.
You know, I really say, because... Not that it'll matter come December, but I really would like to. Because the world's going to end.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, 21st. We're all gone.
Ugly God, their ugly God says, whether it was an ancient alien or...
Yeah.
But my point is, I don't see it happening again, and I honestly don't see her answering for any of it until she is standing there in front of, I don't know, call it the throne of judgment, call it the seat of power, call it the pearly gates, call it whatever you want.
And if she considers herself a Catholic, yeah. she should be standing there. Remember?
It's been a long time since I read The Inferno. Is there a separate spot for politicians?
Wasn't
there a separate circle for politicians?
I don't remember, I'll be honest with you.
Or was it just for backstab and lying?
Maybe. Same thing. Right?
All right. So anyway, so Nancy is in trouble when it comes to that point. And and my diatribe about whether or not you're supposed to be religious one day a week or more is over.
Did you say over?
Over.
Nothing is over. No, I'm sorry.
I'm channeling my inner
Bluto. Okay.
I have faith that as of next January, it's not going to matter.
We're not going to be here. We're not going to be here.
Yeah, but they just proved that again.
I know. The guy went to lunch, didn't come back. Okay, that's what happened.
Right. Well, but whether it was no. They found out that they read it wrong or something.
Oh, good. Oh, that's fine. Okay. So, the state of Alabama.
Oh, God, I haven't had a nice thing to say about the state of Alabama in so doggone long, I feel so much better.
Well, seriously, though, I mean, of all the states, I mean, Alabama. It's wonderful, though. It's wonderful.
Oh, it's beyond wonderful. Oh, I'm sorry. It's beyond wonderful. This is it. This is the best news I've had. I can't tell you how long.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. And for those of you who are wondering, oh, my God, what are they going on about? Because, you know, Luke tends to rant.
Just a bit.
The state of Alabama has decided that Agenda 21 hasn't got a doggone thing to do with them by law.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love it.
I love it. And for those of you who aren't really familiar with Agenda 21, it's basically the UN setting forth all the rules on everything, whether it's environmentalism, zoning, local zoning, what can be rural, what cannot, health care, women's issues, everything.
Property, rights.
That's right.
But the big crux of this is that property rights are the seat of what's wrong with the world.
Yes, and they...
Private property ownership is destroying the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Alabama, God love them, just passed a law that said, essentially, anything directly traceable to Agenda 21 will have no validity within the laws of the state of Alabama.
Excellent.
I mean, it's more, you know, it's more brilliant than that, but the idea being that the state of Alabama has decided that if a law comes down that's traceable to the principles or wording of Agenda 21, the United Nations, Agenda 21, it means nothing to us. It is an unenforceable, nullified quantity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The 10th Amendment movement in the United States... Or I should say, I should clarify it. The 10th Amendment nullification movement.
That's what basically that is, yeah.
The 10th Amendment nullification movement is out there today saying, and Bill Clinton signed Executive Order 89-something, that said, not so much, what he did was he signed an executive order taking the fact that it is an international treaty that needs to be ratified by 33 1/3% of the states to be forced into law. He basically said, well, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to say that we like the idea and we're going to enforce it on our own without having to sign the treaty. Which was the beginning of the 10th Amendment nullification movement. They wanted to say that the federal government is no longer restricted to what is defined in the Constitution as being amongst their purview, and saying, well, we're the federal government, the old Lily Tomlin, we're the phone company.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yeah. We control you. Well, you can't do anything about
it. Many more states have decided that the 10th Amendment is a good amendment.
Yep.
And you want to keep it that way.
Yep. I knew.
Because the rights and responsibilities of the states are just that.
Yep. I know New Hampshire is starting to consider that same law.
I have been blogging here in Maine to try and get that on the agenda, and they don't believe it needs to be. But I think...
It does.
I think when push comes to shove, they'll act.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been pushy enough or shovey enough yet for them to... But many other states have. Many other states have. The one that comes right to mind, Montana. Mm-hmm. Montana passed a set of legislation maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago now. Firearms and ammunition manufacturers within the state of Montana who do not ship outside the state of Montana are not subject to BATF regulation, because BATF has got more to do with interstate commerce, mm-hmm. and has no rights whatsoever in intrastate commerce.
Right.
Oh, did that start a storm?
Yep.
Well, the BATFE, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms should be a convenience store, not a government agency. But saying no, you have no right to say anything about shipments of firearms and ammunition manufactured within the state of Montana mm-hmm. for sale or use within the state of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm sorry, that's intuitive, isn't it?
Yep.
But, the federal government doesn't like the sound of that, not one bit. No, that's a gun, that's ammo, you know, we have the right. No, you don't. And that's the point of the 10th Amendment. The power of the states is just that. The war of northern aggression was fought over states' rights.
That's right, yes.
People say, oh, no, Lou, it was fought about the slaves. No.
No.
It wasn't about the slaves.
No.
No, it was, the agrarian South and industrial art. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the rights of those states to conduct themselves as they see fit. That's the point. Here we are, 2012, and people forget what happened 230-odd years ago. Well, they're going to get reminded this year, trust me.
Yep. Definitely. And, you know, in conjunction with that Agenda 21 thing, Rasmussen did a poll, and I'm surprised this number is not higher. It was only 49% view the UN as unfavorable, and 42% viewed it favorably. I don't understand that.
I mean, I do.
Why? Why do you think...
Because people don't know about Agenda 21.
I don't know. I'm thinking, are there people out there that are under the mistaken impression that the UN is this organization that is just for peace? I mean,
yes,
that's
what people think.
Yeah.
People think, oh, the United Nations.
Yeah, it sounds so lovely, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just so wonderful. We all come together and we all talk about our problems and our troubles. Oh, and we go and we feed the hungry and clothe the naked and, all these things. Oh, isn't it wonderful? That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
PR is the problem. People see the hunky-dory, swell, warm, fuzzy.
Yep.
They don't see the insidiousness and insipidness of the United Nations as an organization.
No. It is. It's basically, it gives all these third world dictators more power. It does. It gives them more power in the world, whereas actually they should be crushed.
But
the
people in the Rasmussen study
mm-hmm.
were of the opinion that it didn't give these third world dictators more power. It gave them a voice.
Yeah, exactly.
For peace in our time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the thing that really gets me is that it was, they did 1,000 likely voters, okay? 1,000 likely voters, and some of the questions, that were asked were, do you have a favorable, very favorable, somewhat unfavorable, or very unfavorable impression of the UN? Is the UN an ally of the United States, an enemy of the United States, or somewhere in between? Should an agency of the UN be given the authority to regulate the internet? Would international regulation make the internet better or worse, or would it have no impact? And last question, which is better, continuing the free market development of the internet or more government involvement in the internet?
I would like to see a much more in-depth demographic breakdown.
Yeah. I'm wondering where it, let's say, I don't think so.
Just link over on Skype if you find it. Because here's the gig. When people talk about, just right there at the top, right off the top of my head, because the technology kind of guy I am, regulation of the internet. Mm-hmm. Every woman in the survey who has a computer in their home wants to see it regulated because their husbands and kids are looking at porn. Every man in the survey is looking at saying, do not regulate it because I'm busy looking at porn. Look, I go back to before internet.
Yeah.
I've been doing this a long, 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 long time. And there was a Muppet parody song, kind of. It wasn't the real Jim Henson's Muppets, God forbid, but there was this Muppet-esque video out there on the early YouTube and floating around in emails.
Yeah.
About why the internet was created, and it was, oh, and shopping, and oh, and this, and there was one Oscar the Grouch kind of guy going, and porn! You know, and oh, and I wish I could find it quickly. But it's true, there was a thing, and oh, and the internet is wonderful, it helps us pay our bills, and porn! You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, any woman who's got a computer in her house and a family behind her is saying, regulate it because there's too much porn.
That's a point. You don't know exactly, yeah. Yeah.
I am as conservative as you could ever want to meet.
Okay.
I could walk into a room with John Wayne, Charlton Heston, and Ronald Reagan, and they'd say, damn, well, you're hard right, ain't you?
Yep.
And they'd be nudging each other, hey, shut up, here comes that right-wing guy. So,
yep.
You know, but I don't believe the internet needs to be regulated, period. You don't let your kids wander off into the 21 square miles of woods across the street where you know there are lions and tigers and bears on mine.
Yep.
Because it's not safe.
It's called personal responsibility. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's all personal responsibility. You know, you don't let your kid jump in a car and drive down to the 7-Eleven.
That's right.
I'm sorry. No, I shouldn't say. The convenience store.
Yeah, okay, convenience store.
You know, you don't... You know, there's things you don't do as a parent.
Yep.
The internet has no regulation, and it should stay that way. Well, yep. Except in, you know, totalitarian regimes where they regulate it very heavily, but that's not my problem. As far as the UN regulation on property ownership, mm-hmm. because property ownership is indeed the root of all evil, according to Agenda 21. Wait. So you want to let the United Nations walk in and say, okay, look, you've got 1,000 acres of farmland that's been in your family since 1789.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yep, that's right.
You've got 100 acres. The other 900 acres were cutting up and given to these nine other people.
All right. No, wait a minute. How about what they do is that they bring people over from another country, a small country in which there is not a lot of farmland to redistribute. So guess where they're going to be? In America.
There is no country.
This is whole thing. It's the whole global initiative crap.
There is no country on the planet where there is no farmland. Is it misused? Yes.
Well, what I'm saying is that you have a smaller country and you have a whole bunch of other, you know, they're going to take people from here and here and here.
I get it. Do we need to denude the entire Amazon basin because there's not enough farmland in Brazil? No.
No.
But if you put these agencies like the United Nations in charge of it,
yes,
that's what's going to happen. We're going to end up with people from all over the world doing all kinds of stuff with absolutely no right to anything. Say, oh, well, they just seek to expand the rights of everybody else in the world at your expense.
That's right.
If these people want their rights, do what we did.
Yep.
Fight for them.
Yep.
Oh, well, there's so many brushfire civil wars, incursions, excursions. Yeah. And that's my problem. Why?
Yeah. Exactly. You know.
Do you know how many millions of people are suffering because of blood diamonds? No, I don't. And furthermore, Scarlet.
I don't give a. Yeah.
And it sounds terribly harsh and cold.
Well, you know, no, it doesn't. Because you know what it is? You and I, and many other people like us, have had it. For decades, for hundreds of. We have given. We have given of our time, our money, our hard work. You know, I have a doctor that goes over to Ethiopia, okay? They're still having Doctors Without Borders and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, we've sent doctors over there since what, the 60s to Africa? And they're still doing it. And I think a lot of us have had it, you know? We're tired of being looked at as the bad guys. Just because we work hard, we believe in liberty, we believe in keeping what we have worked for, and we don't want somebody else to take it away from us.
No. It's not that we believe we want to keep what we've worked for and don't want somebody to take it away from us. We are willing to give it away.
That's right.
Don't take it from us.
That's right. Don't tell us that we have to give it to somebody. We can make up our own minds who to give it to.
These people with their fair share issue, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, but they won't give their fair share. You have to give it what they determine is a fair share. That's the thing.
Hollywood celebrities and stuff that...
Yeah, you know how much these morons make?
It's not a question of how much they make. It's a question of how much they give.
No, it's a question of how much they make also.
Because if they were, quote-unquote, paying their fair share...
Yes.
The problem would be much less, wouldn't it?
Oh, I agree. You know, if they give more, like they say we all should give, then, you know, geez.
Well, you know, they all jumped up and down about... Henry, help me out. I think it was Rick Perry.
About what? What was the topic?
You mean
the foreign aid?
No, how he paid less tax than his secretary.
No, it was Warren Buffett.
Oh, it was Warren Buffett.
Yeah. It was the multi-billionaire Warren Buffett. Oh. Yeah. Okay. It's all right. Sunday afternoon here. We're both hot.
It was Warren Buffett. He paid less tax than his secretary. Well, that's actually not true. He actually paid a tax rate.
Yeah. No, it's not true because all his money comes from investments now. And
it doesn't matter. He paid a lower
tax rate.
A lower net rate.
Right. But
secretary.
They want you to believe he paid less taxes. There's
right.
a difference.
Well,
yeah.
Well, either way, no matter which way they phrase it, less taxes, lower tax rate. So did President Obama.
Yeah.
He paid a lower rate than his secretary.
Yeah.
Now, well, how's that fair? No, that's different, Lou. How is it different? How is it different that the president paid less tax rate than his secretary versus Warren Buffett paid a lower tax rate than his secretary? How is it different? How is it different that I may pay a lower tax rate than you? How is it different that maybe vice versa, maybe you pay a lower tax rate than I?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How is it different that I may pay a higher or lower tax rate than my neighbor?
It depends. It depends on...
Or than my mayor. Or than my governor.
Okay. But it depends. It depends on what investments you have, what your financial situation is, because of the tax code in this country.
I'm willing to bet that my governor makes more money than I do.
Than you?
Yeah.
Of course.
But... If he pays a lower tax rate, well, two things come right to mind. First of all, I didn't write the tax code, so it's out of my
hands. That's right, yeah.
Second of all, it's none of my business.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, okay. Well, I shouldn't use the governor then because, you know, full disclosure and all that other stuff.
Well, actually, wait a minute. You can't. Yeah, well, no, you shouldn't really because he works for you. He works off. He takes, you know, works off of the taxpayer. His salary is paid by the taxpayer. So, you know.
I shouldn't use him either way. I should use a business.
Warren Buffett or, you know, I mean, you know.
Whether it's Warren Buffett or, hey, maybe it's the guy who runs the convenience store down the street, or maybe it's the guy who runs the restaurant down by the causeway, or maybe it's, you know, some other business owner, my electrician.
Okay, how did we get on this
it's
tangent?
It's none of my business how much he pays versus how much I pay, so why is it anybody's business at the United Nations?
Here we go, thank you. You're putting me on track, all right.
How much I pay, how much you pay, how much the governor pays, how much the guy who owns the convenience store down the street pays. Or how much we own. I own 2 acres. Wow, isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody down the street, or actually across the street, owns 21 square miles.
Oh, that's nice. Wow. Okay.
21 square miles. And
yes,
the rest of his family, who, by the way, were chartered here pre-independence.
Wow, nice.
They actually have deeds from old George.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's interesting. I love that.
And, it is great. Next time you're over here, we go down to the Historical Society, and they've got the deeds all, like, framed down there.
Oh, my God. I love that.
And anyway, but, you know, between them, they own, like, 80 square miles of a piece of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. It is nice to go down there and see the deed, but when I meet the guy down at the store and we shake hands, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, it's nice to see you. How is it my business?
That's right. No, you're right. Because that's the way America thinks. Okay? The UN and their agenda is not the way America thinks. And they want to change that. And they figure if they do this, it will change us. And they want to change us.
Okay, well, now wait now. Let's take a step back and take another glance.
Okay.
UN has this whole idea going on of this agenda. 21, who's behind it?
Soros.
Oh!
Da, 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 da. There you
Mister,
go.
If you look up, if you had a dictionary of, I forget who put it out, I think it's Cambridge, put out the dictionary of the encyclopedia of quotes and phrases, stuff like that. If you look up biting the hand that feeds you,
yep.
His picture is there.
Yeah. Yep, I would not be a bit surprised. That's true. Well,
this
man
came from Hungary, became a... Oh, by the way, this man who has indeed been convicted in international court for trading illegally, things like that, you know, made these millions of what's he worth, $14-15 billion now?
Somewhere
he's not the richest man in the world, but he's in that pile somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Has the money to be able to turn around and say, I have all this money. And not only can't you have it, but I'm going to prevent you from ever getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, or the land of the free because of the brave.
True.
I want to take it all away from you.
Mm-hmm.
I made it here. I'm going to take it away from you so you can't have it. He is single-handedly behind the creation of a global commune.
Yep, he is. He is. Yep, and he's made his money basically by devaluing the currencies of other countries.
Broke the Bank of England.
Yep, he did.
And he did it illegally.
Yep.
Broke the Bank of France.
And why is this man still walking around?
And, well, of course he's still walking around.
Why?
He's here.
Why?
They can't get enough to extradite him.
Ah, crap. All right. Well, he's what? He's in his 80s? Let's hope that he goes on a vacation soon, a long one. You know what I mean. Lou? Lou? Hey, Lou.
Hey.
Oh, we just got cut off there somehow, somewhere.
Skype blip.
I'm looking at all my little flickering LEDs, and none of them are flickering badly.
I don't know. All of a sudden, Skype blipped, and you froze.
Well, that's Soros.
In mid-gulp. Yeah, they're doing it. Yeah, there he is.
They've got my number.
They've got us, kiddo. And I don't even have you on video anymore. yeah, they know where we live. Oh, there you go. There you go. You're back.
He is doing more for the Communist Manifesto than Marx, Stalin, Lenin.
Do you know Stalin said, we will sell the capitalists the rope that they use to hang themselves with.
Yep. Yeah, that's a famous quote.
So,
and they're doing just that, they're trying to. But again, you know, go back to that survey. The American people believe the UN to be a wonderful thing.
Stupid.
We're spreading peace and agriculture and prosperity. You know, all that stuff that you know. Don't face it. The United Nations back in 1948.
What? Israel?
No. It was created.
Oh, yeah. Somewhere in there. 46
to 48. To take place in the League of Nations.
Yeah, which was a dismal failure.
So she went. But it was created, and think about this for a second. What was it, a couple of weeks after Roswell?
No, it wasn't. Roswell was in 51. Oh, for heaven's sake!
They created the UN to give somebody the authority to talk to Klaatu.
Okay, on to something else here. All right, as you know, that there have been a few White House, when they suspect it's the White House, some leaks. Talking about the Stuxnet virus and the, what was the other virus that was that
Flame.
Came? What was it?
Flame.
Yeah. And, you know, and the fact that, they did some nasty little things to Iran's computers and stuff, but...
I loved it. Are you kidding me?
But you know what? They shouldn't have said anything. And now, this special prosecutor, one of them was, what was it? Eric Holder. Okay, come on. This, you know, you have to laugh, though, because you have to think, you really think Eric Holder is going to put two special prosecutors in there that are actually going to do the job of unearthing who really did this? No, what's going to happen is some low-level guy somewhere is going to be fired.
It's not that they want to find out who did Stuxnet Flame, they want to find out who leaked it.
Yeah, I know, the leaks, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so
we know who did the Stuxnet and Flame, but what they did.
They want to find out who leaked it in the Obama White House.
That's right.
Ah, and they put Holder in charge of that.
No, that's because that's his job.
I know I'm repeating exactly what you just said, but I'm doing it because I want to make sure whoever heard you say it gets it. People, Eric Holder is every bit as trustworthy as Tommy Flanagan.
Tommy who?
Flanagan. Do you remember John Lovitz?
Oh, okay.
He used to do a shtick on Saturday Night Live. He was Tommy Flanagan.
Yeah.
And my wife, Morgan Fairchild. Eric Holder is right up that alley. As a matter of fact, even John Lovitz doesn't have anything complimentary to say about the Obama White House. That's just me. The idea is Eric Holder is not a Boy Scout.
No, he's not. You know, wasn't he the guy who got the pardon for Mark Rich under Clinton? Yeah. I mean, so this guy is dirty from the beginning.
He's dirty, and he's I wouldn't want to say he's a Chicago politician.
Oh. No?
But, this guy, you know, here's a guy that's under everything but the I word. You know, he's not been indicted yet, but he's been looking to be indicted and impeached for weeks, and they put him in charge of something else? wouldn't they have turned around and said, let's see if there's a deputy attorney general we can get to do this?
No, you know, unfortunately, that is one of the jobs as head of the DOJ. It is.
It's a job he's mandated to do. I get it. It's a job that's actually right up his alley. It's something he's supposed to be doing. I just don't trust him anymore.
Oh, I don't trust him. I didn't trust him from the very beginning. I mean, you know, I mean, you had the Black Panther Party intimidating voters in Philadelphia during the 2008 election. Yeah. And nothing happened to them.
Yeah. Nothing happened.
No, nothing
happened. We're issuing, you know, people say, well, you know, they sold those guns to those. No, we issued those guns to those cartels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
I don't, you know, I really don't think, like I said, I think some low-level analyst somewhere is going to get fired. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. They'll tell him, look, here, look, take the rap.
Yep.
We'll fire you, but you'll keep your pension.
Yep.
We'll put you in prison, but you'll be out in a couple of hours.
Yep. And we'll spirit you away to some, you know, Caribbean island where you can live there.
Yeah. Costa Rica or, you know, one of our Cayman Islands.
Yep.
And you'll be fine. And you know what, after, you know, the Fuhrer dies down, we'll bring it back. You know, you'll have had a nice vacation at our expense, and everything will be hunky-dory.
That's
you know?
Right.
But, come on, these people.
Yep.
You wonder. And, you know, when you look at the fact that the media can twist and contort this stuff to their heart's content,
mm-hmm.
and the American people see this stuff going on, but they still don't. Is it because we're too busy? Is it because we're the benighted, huddled, unwashed? You know, is it because, why is it that this stuff is all over, even the mainstream media carrying some of it?
Well, I think what's going to happen, I really think that in November, that people are going to come out to vote, and people are going to come out to vote that against Obama.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah, they have to. Because if they don't, this is just going to get worse, and you're going to see everything being taken away from you, and I'll probably be in jail, you know.
Well, No. Let me qualify that for you.
What?
Things are not going to get worse.
Meaningful bomb? Oh, come
America,
on.
As we know it, will cease to exist.
Okay. No, that's a better clarification of it. Yes. Yes. I agree.
200 odd years
down the drain.
Of land of the free and the home of the brave. 200 odd years of, you know, being the vanguard of progress in the world. 200 odd years of being where everyone turns to for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is going to settle into finally accepting and coming to grips with the blame everybody in the world is willing to put on us for every evil, every ill.
That's right.
And we'll need to be penitent.
Yep.
For a generation at least.
Yep. Yep.
And that's, I'm saying, at least.
Yep. I agree.
I am not unconvinced yet to this day that if the president is reelected, that there will be no such thing as a movement to crown him king.
Oh, whoa. I agree with you. Or dictator, basically. Seriously.
Dictator, king, emperor, czar.
You know, seriously, when he said that comment to Medvedev, I will have more flexibility when I am reelected. And he kept saying, this will be my last election. Of course it's going to be his last election, but not for the reason that most people think it is. It's not because he's going to honor, you know, the two-term rule. No, he's going to turn himself into a dictator.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Emperor life or whatever, you know.
You know, emperor for whatever, you know.
And he'll bring in whatever he wants as far as, you know, it's King Edward scenario. He'll just disband Congress.
That's right.
Or stack, pack, and racket with wants in it.
Well, you know what? I'm wondering, you know those 32 czars that he appointed? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Have you heard anything from them? I haven't heard anything.
Not since they sent Van Jones down the road.
Yeah, but I haven't heard anything. What are these people doing? What changes are they setting in place? What trigger points, you know, are they setting up? What are they doing? And I would really like to know that.
They're staying on the radar. Freedom? That's what they're doing.
Maybe a Freedom of Information Act should be, you know, used here to. I don't know. I don't know if a normal person can do that. You know,
well, anyone.
Well, yeah. But it does cost some money. So, hey, this.
Well, actually, no, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. Okay.
Oh, you should be able to summon public records as a citizen of the United States, and if they're shielded in any regard, you can file for. There may be a nominal filing fee, but there should be no reason whatsoever you can't file for release of those records under the Freedom of Information Act.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, that's what the Freedom of Information Act
is supposed
about.
To be. Yes. Yeah. Something. What?
Go ahead.
Well, you what? What?
Something that people don't get.
Okay.
Is the fact that we have rights. And just because you've never heard of it doesn't mean you don't have a right to it. If you've never heard of it, it means you haven't had exposure to need that right, to exercise that right.
That's right.
That doesn't mean it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you don't know it's there, when it disappears, doesn't mean it doesn't affect you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Anyway, if a right disappears and you didn't know you had that right, does it mean that it doesn't affect you? No. That's not what it means.
No.
What it means is that's one less you have, and it makes it easier to take the next one and the next one and
the next one
until sooner or later they get the one that you do know you have, and when they go to take it away and you get all upset,
mm-hmm.
It's too late, because one of the ones they took away while you weren't looking because it didn't matter to you was the right to bitch about when they take another one.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I don't know if but that also has to do with the school system, because they have not taught students the Constitution, what their real rights are, you know? I don't know.
They don't teach. I don't know what they teach these days. I've been out of that loop for some time.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time I was in that loop, I will tell you this. I know for a fact that as of 1998 or 99, the history they were teaching wasn't right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's not. Nope.
I look at the germ monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie's the girlfriend's little girl. And she's 7 years old.
Okay.
And when I talk to her about stuff that she learns in school, I don't think they teach them anything.
No.
I mean, they teach them how to spell. Mm-hmm. They teach them, you know, arithmetic. They teach them, I suppose, a certain modicum of grammar.
It's mostly indoctrination now.
But the rest of the day is indoctrination.
Yeah, it is.
They don't have gym class. They don't have art class. They don't have music class.
Mm-hmm.
They have the rest of their day is academic. But they don't have gym class, art class, or music class.
Mm-mm.
Now, I don't want to sound like some liberal Bolshevik weenie.
Yeah.
How do you stand there and tell me that you have to modify the diet of the kids in the cafeteria because they're getting fat, but then you take away gym class?
I know. It does not make sense at all. Of course not. Nope.
Well, because, you know, if a kid falls down in gym class, there'll be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And the lawsuit would bankrupt the budget of the school system. Wait a minute. I skinned my knee in gym class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I skinned an elbow. I know a kid who lost a tooth.
Yep.
I say kids.
Yeah.
But
Yep.
The idea is nobody sued the school system because their precious little booby, you know, lost a little skin on their knee.
That's all right, but now they do.
Why would they sue the school if their precious little booby skinned their knee? Why would it dawn on people to sue the school because they skinned their knee?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so nowadays, if they do have any sort of PE at all,
it's restricted. It's restricted.
It's not only restricted. What's this game with the parachute?
What? What
parachute? It's parachute time. What's parachute time?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'll tell you what. The only time I really cared about my parachute was making sure it was open.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I mean, yeah, consider your background. Yeah, would have been nice.
Yeah, because if it didn't open, I was going to have a really bad day.
Yeah.
But only for me.
But
they have this parachute game, and it's another one of these games where nobody wins.
Oh, no.
Because if they all work the parachute correctly, it inflates and it comes down, and if one person doesn't do it right, then it doesn't work right. And if it does, and if that person doesn't do it right, the issue isn't that that person loses and has to go sit down. The issue is everybody else helps that kid to get it right.
Oh, that's what that's about. Okay.
So this is one of those no winners games.
And no losers.
No. Wait. If you have winners, they're all losers.
Oh, God. Okay.
But in my opinion, if you don't have a winner...
That's right.
A principal, let me see if I can grab this real quick out of my history.
A principal just had a
speech to a class of kids graduating high school who said, "You are not special."
I don't think it was a principal. I think it was, I saw that. It was a writer, I believe it was. Oh my gosh, I know who that was.
Hold on. I'm getting there. Is that today or yesterday?
About 2 days ago. Yeah, it was. Oh God, what the heck was his name?
I'm trying to find that right now. Ooh. Anyway, let's put it this way: it had to do with the fact that this person.
Okay. All right. It's McCullough. It's actually in, it's David McCullough's son, historian David McCullough, and his name is David also.
Right.
Yeah, he told him, you are not special, you're coddled, and you're, you know, the whole thing. I mean, he just goes, you've been pampered, cosseted, doted upon, helmeted, bubble wrapped. Yeah. Yes, capable adults with other things to do have held you, kissed you, fed you, wiped your mouth, wiped your bottom, trained you, taught you, tutored you, coached you, listened to you, counseled you, encouraged you, consoled you, and encouraged you again. Wow. Think about this. If you're one in a million on a planet of 6.8 billion, that means that there are nearly 7,000 people just like you. Bingo. You are not special. You are not exceptional. Isn't that nice?
Well, that's the thing. How many, I'd like to know how many valedictorians that school had.
Yeah. And it's at Wesley High School in Massachusetts. Amazing. I mean, one of the areas of liberal bastion and garbage.
In other words, if there were 500 kids, they had 500 valedictorians.
Oh, most likely. But listen, I want to focus on something that happened up in, and this really bothered me. And not only it bothered me, it outraged me. Stuyvesant High School in New York, Manhattan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know where it is.
Yeah. Yep, the teenage girls there held a slutty Wednesday in order to protest the conservative dress code. Okay? Slutty Wednesday. Isn't that nice? In which they wore short shorts and, little...
Were they sent home?
No.
Were they sequestered in a gymnasium or something until the day was over and sent home?
No.
People say, Lou, you don't understand. When I was a kid, we had uniforms.
Yeah, and they just said that they got fed up. We're being told throughout the year that their short skirts and sleeveless tops made them more fit for a club dance floor than for a seat at the best public school in town. By the way, this is from the New York Post. And the thing is that, I mean, they said, well, we work our asses off here, and school is about learning. Clothing is not important. Oh, okay.
Well, if clothing's unimportant, then let's put you in a uniform.
That's right. I agree. Clothing, yeah, okay, fine. I mean, gee, I mean, the mothers of these girls, are they proud of them? Is this what feminism was all about?
Yes.
So these
and
girls...
I'll tell you why.
Then wait a minute. So these girls...
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I saw a thing this
slutty?
Week saying that there is now a website saying the hotties of OWS.
Oh, my God.
And
oh my God.
The question was, is the calendar far behind?
Well, let me just tell you. Let me just tell you. I'm not a prude. Believe me, I'm not a prude, okay? But
yeah.
I have respect for myself, for my body, and how I know that the vision I present to people is how they are going to accept me or reject me. And if I dress in disgusting clothing like I'm looking at right here, you know, they are going to think that I am a slut.
Don't hold me to this, because I'm shooting from the hip here.
Go ahead.
But I remember seeing something saying Marilyn Monroe never wore a bikini. I remember seeing something. I don't know if it's true or if it's almost true, like she wore one once or something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, Natalie Wood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait a minute. That famed poster of Farrah Fawcett, what was she in? She was in One Piece.
One Piece.
And how many guys?
I come from the generation where leaving a little bit to the imagination was more tantalizing than walking around naked was.
Oh my God! Well, no, come on. I mean, Farrah Fawcett.
Neither am I a prude. But are their parents proud of them? Well, this one girl who was in the Occupy Wall Street "quote unquote" hotties website.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother said, "Oh, I'm proud of my daughter." Standing up for what her generation believes in and this and the other, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding. That picture of her, give me that picture right there of her in handcuffs. You're proud of? So, yes, I don't doubt that the women whose daughters go to Stuyvesant High School on Slutty Wednesday are proud of their daughters for standing up for something. Well,
is that all they can stand up for?
Why don't they stand up for the fact that clothes are so unimportant to us we're willing to wear school uniforms?
I mean, you know, the thing is, why can't they stand up for the fact that, you know, they understand what their place is in this country and who they're supposed to be as they grow up, you know?
I got stopped in the hallway, I don't want to tell you how many times, in high school.
What, making the belly, with your belly hanging out, or...
Oh, yeah, with my belly button ring. Yeah. No, because the collar on my leather jacket was popped up.
Ooh. Yep.
And being told by teachers, deans, and everything else, that's what lockers are for.
Yep.
Go put your jacket away.
And you did.
And I did.
Yep.
I tried to get away with it every time I turned around. I was a rebellious youth.
Of course. Yeah.
I get it. Rebellion of youth, I get it. But when they say to you, go put your jacket away, I did.
Yep.
And when I was walking down the hallway with a young lady, and her skirt was, I mean, we had teachers in the hallways with rulers.
Yep.
Checking to see where it was above the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to talk about my earlier days in Catholic school.
Yeah, they used the rulers there. You know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I people say, well, you know, these kids are getting beaten up for their sneakers. Well, then take the sneakers out of the equation.
Uniforms.
Well, we work our asses off in this school, so it shouldn't be about clothing. Well, then put them in a uniform.
Put them in a uniform.
Take it out of the equation.
If it's not.
It's about learning.
Yep.
Yeah, it's about learning. Then take the clothing out of the equation.
Yep. Yep, it's amazing. But you know, the thing is, I'm looking. They're so proud to use the word slut. That's what gets me too. You know, I mean, you know, feminism,
Gee.
Oh, yeah, but wait.
Gloria Steinem, call your
Rush
office.
When Rush Limbaugh used the word.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. I completely forgot about that.
Did the sky fall?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you know, it was like, you know, somebody set off a bomb somewhere.
Right. And here it comes right down to, you got to pick it. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. Which way do you want it?
Yep.
And I don't want to, what am I supposed to say here? Hold on. Help me out here, because you're on the, what we used to call the distaff side.
Okay.
Am I supposed to say, girls, ladies, women, women?
You know, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't matter.
Which way do you want it, female persons?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to be sluts? Or do you want to scream when somebody uses that word at you? Which way do you want it? You can't have it both.
That's true.
Which way do you want it?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, the fact that they would even consider having a slutty Wednesday vocabulary, irregardless.
Yeah.
Whether they called it slutty Wednesday, whether they call it dress oddly Wednesday, whether they call it clothing optional Wednesday. Which way do you want it?
I agree. You know. Yep. But you see, it's up to them, though. They can decide when it's offensive. That's what it is with them. And that's what having rights is all about. That's what being a woman, a feminist woman, is all about. You know, they decide what is offensive to them. You know, so
on a moment-to-moment basis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know. Oh, boy.
Well, I just don't get it. I don't get it. So wait now. So if the girls have a slutty Wednesday, can the boys have slutty Thursday?
I don't know if Stuyvesant is it just a girls' school? Oh, no, I don't think that's probably allowed. No.
Well, what about the girl that was denied going to her prom because her dress had a representation of the stars and bars?
Yeah, yeah. Rebel flag on it. I know. Well, I know.
You know, so she was not allowed to go to her prom because her dress had a representation of the Confederate battle flag.
Yeah. No, okay, this is a co-ed high school. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, what was amazing was at the time when they interviewed people, from what I gathered from the article, they interviewed a mess of African-American students who thought it was a nice dress.
Yeah, there you go. I know.
People jump up and down about this stuff. There's a fella, and I'm trying to remember his name. Oh, God, if Debbie was here, she'd fill me right in. And I'm trying. It's one of the TV chefs, British guy. Not the one that swears and screams and throws stuff at the people. Another one. Jamie Oliver.
Oh, okay, yeah. The now, chef, yeah, yeah.
He is a Bolshevik weenie. There's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he comes over and don't tell me how to eat. I know how to eat.
Well, no, you don't. Well, you do. But his thing is, and I watched a TED Talk with him on it, and it was in 2009, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right after the First Lady had decided to have this campaign against childhood obesity. Mm-hmm. I mean, every First Lady has to have a something. First right. was childhood obesity. And we've discussed her thing with the White House Garden and all of that.
Uh-huh.
Well, he came along and he gave her all manner of kudos for starting this because, face it, the food that they serve in schools is not food.
No.
And there is room for improvement.
Sure.
To say the least. And there's not only room for improvement, but there's room for improvement in the nutritional value and what it costs the taxpayer. And they go hand in hand.
Yep.
And feed kids better, cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Than what you're doing now. And he goes from place to place, school district to school district, and one of the places he hits a lot is magnet schools or charter schools or whatever you want mm-hmm. to call them. And he shows them how they can change their menu and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, the kids, love it. Mm-hmm. The school administrators love it. School boards love it. The parents don't.
Hmm.
Why not? Well, they've been convinced by school dietary authorities and Food and Drug Administration, the United States Department of Agriculture, that, among other things, ketchup is a vegetable. You know, all of these things. And all he wants to do is make it better, and he meets all this resistance. Well, if we would use the schools as, oh, gee, I don't know, schools, mm-hmm. instead of cradle to grave programs, this would be a non-issue.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not saying that we should abolish the supplementary food issues to schools. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there are schools where kids go to school hungry.
Yep.
And they go through the day hungry. and should there be some sort of assistance? There probably should be.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, it's costing us billions of dollars to put Twinkies and Pepsi, no aspersion on Pepsi, Coke too, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's or mm-hmm. Fruit Punch, which is largely food dye and
sugar.
And either sugar or some artificial
fructose, what if it's corn syrup?
No, the heck with that. I'd rather it was high fructose corn syrup than sucralose or aspartame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't. They have to have peanut-free tables in these cafeterias because kids have peanut allergies.
Yeah, I know. It's just getting a little ridiculous, I think.
But not for nothing. But I'm sorry. When I was a kid in school, nobody had allergies.
No.
People didn't have allergies. Oh, there was a couple of kids in the spring who'd get hay fever, but I mean, kids didn't have allergies, and nobody died.
I know.
Now, all of a sudden, every kid's got an allergy, you know, so they have peanut-free tables, but what if the kid can't have aspartame? What if the kid can't have sorbitol, xylitol?
Yeah.
What if the kid is allergic to FD&C red number, whatever, and FD&C mm-hmm. green,
yep.
whatever? You know, and these chemicals, these aniline dyes, have been linked to all kinds of problems. So we have to have a program. I get it.
Yep.
So why don't we make it as good a program as possible? We have to wear clothes. I get it. So why don't we make it as facilitous to education as possible?
Because that's not the whole idea of schools nowadays.
No, it's not. There's my point.
Yep.
It's not the idea of schools to teach.
Nope.
It's to indoctrinate.
That's right.
It's to inculcate.
That's right.
It's not to inform. It's not to elucidate.
No.
It's not to create inspired, independent thought.
That's right. Exactly. That's right.
It's designed to put your jack boots on and put them in lockstep with everybody else in that room.
And that's it. And that's all that they want. And if you go against the so-called norm, then you're a troublemaker. That's what that's all about. No.
Well, having been a troublemaker in my life.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. But, you know, so was I on occasion. I'll be honest with you. I had a big mouth on occasion. Got me into trouble.
Well, the big mouth, yeah, big
but it
mouth.
But it was basically because I had an objection to something, and I was asking questions about it. That's all it was. I mean, I was not going to go against this.
When I ask questions, I got answers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or I was instructed in how to find those answers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so I know.
That kid, that poor kid that said something to a teacher about the president 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she started screaming at him and said that, you know, how many people were put in jail by George Bush because they said something bad about him? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, I'd like to know
she
exactly
lied.
Many because, heck, the entire mainstream media said bad stuff about him on a daily, if not hourly, basis.
I know. But, you know, I mean, it's a darn shame that education has dropped to this level where the girls are just so concerned about being sluts than they are about being educated properly.
I know, I do.
I don't know. So I think we got to wrap this up.
Why?
I'm having a good time, too, but we are going really long on this, babe.
Are we?
Yeah,
I counter. Okay, listen, you want to wrap it up, we'll wrap it up. I honestly think we should go to 2 hours.
And my producer says, no.
All right, so how about an hour twice a week?
Barry likes that idea, but he says, when the heck are we going to do it? When?
Well, here's my other issue. You take a day like today, and yes, I ramble quite a bit, and I apologize for that.
No, you don't. You don't mean it.
But, well, no, I do. I apologize for that. But because there are days when I can, and there are days when I can't help it. The days when I can't help it, and I don't, I apologize.
Okay.
You know, the days when I can't help it, well, I can't apologize for that because I can't help it. My issue is we're getting close to the election.
Mm-hmm.
Very close.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start seeing more and more issues that I would like to have an opportunity to have a podcast very much like we have right now. But I'd like to offer an alternative podcast. I'd like to offer the people of the United States of America, on an issue-by-issue basis, what they can do about it. I'd like the people of the United States of America to know that following what Sean Hannity said, this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Yep.
And that America, as we know it, has the distinct possibility of no longer being exactly what it has been for 240 years.
That's right.
And what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should start having a little bit, topics are nice, but I think we should start being a little bit more pointed.
Okay, I agree. So we'll probably start that next week then, folks, and hopefully you'll be hearing from us again.
Pay attention to the fact that Amory has done some more writing, and I have at least a few essays on the board.
Yeah.
And I will be trying to get some more pointed material out there.
Yeah.
I would like to plug once again heritage.org, boys and girls, free copy of the Constitution, Declaration, Bill of Rights. You can do your own exegetical research from there.
Yep. Okay, guys, listen, this is it for this week's Political QRM. My thanks to all the people in the military that help keep us safe day in and day out, and who sacrifice so much so that we are safe and we're allowed to do this podcast.
If you can hear this podcast and you can hear it in English, thank a soldier today. Let's not forget our first responders, our police, fire, and first aid people.
Exactly.
God bless the United States of America.
And this is proof that there are so many things going on in the world today that we completely forgot. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, the more stupid things she says, the more that you have to talk about it.
Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden... The indictment, or not indictment, but the leaning on indictment of
Holder.
Maxine Waters.
Maxine Waters? Holder? What are we talking about? We got her almost indicted?
There was something going on. I shouldn't say indictment. The I word is important.
Okay.
Too important to waste. Mm-hmm. No, she's getting called. And of course, what's her name? Liawatha.
Yep, there we go. Thanks to Howie Carr. Yeah.
Yes, thanks to Howie. Props to Howie Carr for coming up with the name.
Yep.
Yeah. But with all this stuff going on, we forgot this. I mean, well, look, hey, not to denigrate Alabama's contribution to keeping at least one state out of the Agenda 21 file.
Yeah, I think I'm going to move down there. You know, this continues. Yeah.
No, I can't. The only thing I hate worse than winter is where you got to live to get away from it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not a real fan of the hot weather. So
look, the Deep South is a wonderful place. They make some of the best liquor in the world.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But it's just not my speed.
No.
Well, I've been in Biloxi and stuff. You know, I've been in Mobile. I've been, you know, I've been actually to Muscle Shoals.
Okay, you got me on that one.
Muscle Shoals, Alabama, way down there. Oh yeah, I've been there. And I'm neither bragging nor complaining, just a point of order. But anyway, so thanks to Alabama for what they've done. But by the same token, we neglected the polar opposite.
Yes.
Go straight north.
Yep.
And we missed out on all the good stuff about his honor.
Yeah.
Although I guess they don't call him His Honor up there. They call him His Honor Hay or something. Hay or
Wisconsin. Yeah, well, we forgot that to mention and that Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, survived the recall vote.
Yes, he not only survived. He cleaned their clock.
7 points. And this is very, very important, especially for the presidential election coming up in November. Not only does it give a signal out to the other Republican governors that, hey, you know what? Look what Scott Walker did. Why don't you follow?
Doable.
Yes, it is doable.
Well, didn't California already say that they're looking to follow on, hang on his coattails with that? Didn't they say something about the public employees in California are now very
I think San Diego and San Jose, I believe.
Oh, God,
voters.
I love San Diego, but I don't know the way to San Jose.
No, neither do I, unfortunately. God, we're dating ourselves. They have put, what was it? They put restrictions on the,
restrictions on the collective bargaining agreement, and they're looking about changing the caps on their retirement plans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. But,
and you couldn't pay me to complain. You know, look, I'm sorry, I don't believe, I believe the entire thing started to go, oh, police, I'm on the phone here. Oh, my goodness. It's these sparrows. They get on the shelf. Anyway, the grosbeaks are fine. The chickadees are fine. The nuthatches are fine. The titmice are fine. Everybody's happy until the sparrows show up. Then they're all annoyed. Anyway.
Then they're all upset. Okay.
But I think the whole thing started to slide. The first employees of the federal government who unionized, I believe, were the Postal Service.
Yeah,
and
I think
my
so.
My goodness, that was way back, what, 70, 69, mm-hmm. You know, somewhere way back when. And I said, well, why are they unionizing? I said back then, you know, why are they unionizing? They've got a government job.
That's right.
You know, a government job. I mean, how much more could you ask for than a government job?
That's right. Do you know that? Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Your turn.
No. I mean, did you know that FDR had an opportunity to sign a bill that would allow federal employees to unionize, and he said, no, I'm not doing this. This is not a good idea. And not until John F. Kennedy got into office did he sign that bill and allow union employees.
It wasn't a good idea. And this coming
Oh, it's
from
not a good idea. Had, exactly.
This coming from a man who had more communists in his White House than, well, I shouldn't say more than Barack Obama,
probably close. Yeah. Yeah, no, seriously, yeah.
You know, I mean, the man was a probably the single most liberal president we had until Barack Obama.
Yep.
And, you know, so for him to turn around and say, this is not a good idea, whoa, mm-hmm. back up a second, stop the presses or whatever you call it in those days. So anyway, so he didn't sign it, but that's somebody, Kennedy did, and the Postal Service unionized. Which, I'm sorry, I thought was really dumb.
Yeah, it is, because
it's a government job.
Yeah,
you've got security in your job for life.
That's right.
You're going to get paid at least as well, if not better, than the private sector. You're going to get benefits that the private sector couldn't go hand and, you know, hat in hand and beg
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, in every liberal nuance on those benefits that you could possibly name, and they decided to unionize, and of course, well, you know, the one coup we did have was Patco.
Yes, that's right.
You know, we our side did have one victory with Patco.
Yep, that's right.
But other than that, I just never understood the unionization thing. So now here we are with the whole thing in Wisconsin, which is a bellwether. It
yes,
really is.
I think it is. Mm-hmm.
To the rest of the Republican governors and to our Republican, at least in nominee, Republican candidates for the White House and anywhere else from there down.
That's right.
And I'm very grateful to the people of Wisconsin for this. I spent some time, you know, as people might know or might not know, I spent quite a number of years working for Harley-Davidson Motor Company. And I spent quite a bit of time, not in a row, but quite a bit of time in Milwaukee. And I like Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big Packer, but I you know, I do like Wisconsin. It's a very nice place. But to see them do this just made my heart jump.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad that he won by a decisive margin. I mean, they couldn't come out and say, well, oh, gee, you know, it's only 1,200 votes or something, you know.
But it was the death of democracy, you know.
Oh, yes, there was that crybaby on CNN.
Hey, don't we have a clip?
We did have a clip. Now.
My goodness. You know what? I laughed so hard. Tears ran down my lip.
I hope, yeah, I do know the guy was saying, I hope you keep me on because this is the death of democracy. No, I'll tell you what just died. What died was his ability to fleece the taxpayers.
Yes,
that's what just died.
What died is the fire in the engine of your gravy train.
That's right. Do you know that union membership in Wisconsin has gone down from 62,000 to about 25,000 and change? Since Scott Walker put in those changes, and
well,
a lot of people,
no, it's not just that's the public sector.
Yes, I know that, and that was what was draining Wisconsin of all its money. It was the public sector union. And, you know, and they had these horrible commercials out that, you know,
and
all these teachers.
Now that he has defeated the recall,
mm-hmm.
he's going to go wandering into that big cupola in the state capitol, and he's going to walk in there, and he's going to have a sheaf of papers in his hand. And it's not going to be 27,000 pages, and he's going to balance that, or at least approach balancing mm-hmm. that budget. And the people of Wisconsin are going to laud him in perpetuity.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he and you know, people are using expressions like broke the back of the, you know, put the heel of the boot on the neck of, and you know, set fire to this and tore mm-hmm. that and shredded the next thing. You know what he did? He made some damn common sense for a moment.
That's right.
But that moment will shine. That moment will shine like a candle on a windowsill. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. That was probably of the week. That was one of the best news, and I'm sorry we missed it in the original, 3.5 hours? I don't know. By the time Barry cuts it down, 25 minutes of the original podcast.
Yeah. Remember, he's got his finger on the button, so, you know, we got to treat him nice.
Oh, yeah. There's a cough switch? Is that what? No, it's a cough switch. It's a shut Lou off.
Kill switch. Just teasing.
Shut up, you old greaser.
Nah, you old goat. I mean, no, it's okay. Hey. Oh, well. But no, it's a good victory. And
It's a good victory. And you know something? We take
it's a
our
fair victory.
It's more than fair. Mm-hmm. It's more than fair. It's you know, I shudder to use a term like payback, but you know what? It's more than fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because fair would have been to just say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair would have been to not have had to recall election in the first place.
Yeah, the unions and the Democrats were stamping their feet. They were stamping their feet, especially when they left the state. They couldn't get their way, so they left the state.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you know,
that's really, you know, adult of you.
They're very, very fortunate. They're very, very fortunate that it was Scott Walker. They really are, because had it been me, I'd have found some loophole to send the National Guard out, go. I don't care what state they're in, go get them, bring them back.
Well, you know, I think some states do have regulations that if, you know, legislatures...
Well, that's the next step, isn't it? That's the next step, isn't it? For the houses and senates in different states that have the opportunity, as we do right now here in Maine, not that I see them doing it because
Yeah.
I just don't see them doing it, but I wish they would. While they have the option with a Republican governor and Republican House and Republican, you know, legislature in general, to be able to turn around and say, okay, now look, we're changing this.
Mm-hmm.
When legislature is in session, thou shalt be here.
Yes, exactly.
No walking out, no stamping your feet, no harumphing, no puffing out your cheeks.
Yep.
No tears jerked.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
None of this stuff. Get your butt in there and do the people's business. If you don't want to get your butt in there and do the people's business, let the people tell you exactly what they think of you for that.
That's right.
Because the people of Wisconsin told those legislators what they think of it in this election.
That's right. That's right. And but you know what? The Dems up there and throughout the country, you know, still think that it was an unfair election. You know, that, oh, gee, we only spent $4 million and you know, Scott Walker spent...
Did Jimmy Carter and the UN show up to count the votes again or what?
No. They're just saying that, you know, oh, you know, we had all this money and everything. Yeah, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every little guy throughout the country decided to send Scott Walker money. That's what this was about. Sure, the RNC helped.
It was a dollar.
Yeah.
It was $5.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody looked, and the Democrats, DNC, just looked and said, no, we don't think so. I mean, you know, Obama was in all the surrounding states in the days before that election, and he just flew right over it.
Yeah, that's right. He did not show up.
Nope.
Because he knew this was going this way, and the last thing he needed was to show up.
Well, you know what? If he had showed up, I bet you it would have been a 10-point win for Walker. Because every time he went to a state, whoever was running lost.
Yep.
You know? I mean, case in point, New Jersey... Yeah, you gotta come to Maine.
Come to Maine, you know what? Come to Maine once a week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've already had Biden here. Oh my God! Oh, I won't even go into that. So anyway,
well, no, we've had President Obama here. We have, you know, you know, the whole thing. Well, there have been some battleships and stuff going on. Or I'm sorry, you know, no letters, Navy guys. I jumped out of airplanes because I don't do boats. All right.
You hate the water.
My issue is, you know, whether it's battleships, destroyers, cruisers, aircraft, I don't care what it is. It's a boat.
It's
all
a
right?
boat.
So they were
floats on water. Yeah, okay.
They were
there are these waves underneath it. You can see
something. Because I'll tell you what, if you put my aircraft in the water, I got more problems than worrying about being seasick. So, you know.
That's true.
But whatever it is that these gray things that float around out there, boat, destroyer, carrier, you know, whatever it is. But, I mean, we've had some of those going on up at Bath Iron Works for the first time in some time. And we've had some things going on down in Portland. There was a research vessel christened and got a new commercial pier project going down there with cruise ships, etc. And so the president has been here several times. My beautiful and adoring wife worked at the jet port for some time when we first moved up here, and so she was subject to the lockdowns.
Right.
You know, PWM, Portland, for people who understand the code, PWM, and for people who don't, it means Portland International Jet Port. Has a, you know, a protocol, a procedure for when a dignitary arrives. And, you know, of course, there was the day when, you know, everything went to lockdown. All of the blinds came down on the windows and Secret Service everywhere and snipers on everybody. And it was Hillary or Bill or God love Bush 43.
Yep.
You know, Laura, Bush 41, Barbara. We're here routinely, so you know, the wife put up with the inconvenience, which I'm sorry is not an inconvenience when you've got people like that.
Exactly.
Look, I'm not a big fan. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm not a big fan of President Obama.
No, really?
Neither was I a fan of the Billy and Hilly show.
No, neither was I. No, come on. I mean, you know.
But look, hey, you know what? Protocol, procedures are procedures. You know, you lock down the airport, snipers go on the roof, dogs go out on the tarmac. It's how it is. You know, right. It's part of the gig, and you deal with it. When I lived in Metro New York and the president came to New York, you dealt with the traffic. When Joe Biden come to New Hampshire, you deal with the traffic. It's part of it. You know, if you live in D.C., part of it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I'm happy. I'm pleased with that because, I mean, there are people in other countries that wish they'd have a motorcade. anyway.
All right.
I digress. But
you are digressing, dear.
I'm sorry. I know this was only supposed to be a 5-minute addendum, but
I can't. 10, 15, yeah.
But when you look at it and you say that he drops the percentages in every town he visits, then I hope he stops in every town in Maine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, come on. I mean, you know, Corzine lost New Jersey because he went there.
And
they lost Virginia, and McDonald is
the
is
town
governor.
Where my family moved after we left down neck north was Corzine Central, Lautenberg Central.
Uh-huh. Oh, God, Lautenberg,
I was surprised that after all the times they were there, that they didn't rename the main drag halfway up Corzine Avenue and the other half Lautenberg Avenue.
Yeah, I know.
Or the two main drags where they intersect, Corzine Street and Lautenberg Avenue, you know. But even that town, and I'm not going to name it, even that town is starting to turn around and say, this isn't working out so well.
No. So, yeah, I just think that it's sort of like the beginning. You know, Scott Walker poked a hole in the Democrat balloon. He really did.
I don't want to be misunderstood here. But you know,
Lou, I don't think anybody.
You remember science experiments in like 7th and 8th grade with balloons, thumb tacks, sewing needles.
Yes.
Chris Christie put the dent.
Okay. All right. I'll grant you that.
Chris Christie put the dent. Now, I'm not a big fan of Chris Christie.
Yep, a lot of us are.
I love his attitude because I'm a Jersey guy, so, you know, you got to love the attitude.
Yep.
But he put the dent, and now Scott Walker came along and pierced
the
skin.
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness. You know, they talked about this and talked about this. You couldn't get away from it.
That's right.
Whether it was Fox, whether it was CNN, granted, the point of view was skewed a little bit, depending on where you watch. But, I mean, look at it this way. Governor Daniels of Indiana was in on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forget the gentleman's name. Maybe you've got a house guest who can help me with Michigan. I mean, you've got commercials for one of the car companies saying things like imported from Detroit. We're talking the Rust Belt here, boys and girls, and it's not the Iron Belt, it's not the Aluminum Belt, it's not the Chrome Belt, it's not the shiny lacquer belt. It's the Rust Belt. It's a Rust Belt for a reason. Because all the jobs went somewhere else and all the factories are rusting away. And all those factories are rusting away because of big labor. Now, Scott Walker came along and pierced that balloon. God bless Scott Walker.
There we go. Yep. God bless. Let's hope it happens many, many times throughout the next election cycle.
I don't know if it's going to happen so many times in this election cycle because there's so little at stake.
Wait a minute. Okay.
No.
Back that up.
No. It's the most important election cycle of our lifetime. I get that because it's a general election. I get that. But
no, it's because of the... Okay, go ahead.
I'm talking about lesser elections.
We'll see.
See, now, our elections in Maine for a lot of the lesser stuff is tomorrow. So I have to go and deal with that.
Okay. Now let me know what happens next time we come back on.
I sure will.
But... Definitely.
you know, Scott Walker was done and all this other stuff, and then now we got cross-quarter elections tomorrow, and the general election in November is not going to be a big coattail election as far as Maine's concerned. Other states, it may be different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be a big coattail election as far as Maine is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shelley Pringree, God love her. Bill Diamond, God love him. They are up for election.
So are you voting tomorrow?
Oh, you have no idea. What are you going to do? You find a chain big enough. Go ahead. You find a chain big enough and a stake in the ground deep enough to hook that chain to. I was raised under the premise of if you don't vote, you can't bitch.
That's right. Don't complain.
Which is not true. Which is not true. It's patently untrue. You have the right in the United States of America to bitch whether you vote or not.
That's right.
But I just discount the validity of your complaining.
That's true. I agree.
You know, because, look, voting is a right, but it's also a responsibility. It's one of the few places where they actually intersect.
That's right. That's right.
And
it looks like in Wisconsin that they took it seriously, and they did the right thing, because the state was, financial straits that they would probably never recover, and they would probably
all
look
states
like
are.
I know, but
name a state that isn't.
Okay, yeah, no, they all are, and a lot of them have to do with Democratic policies and just spending by the locals and spending by the state, and because they think that the money is always going to come in. But we'll see what happens next time. So we're going to have to wrap this one up.
Oh, come on.
We've been yakking. I know.
Listen, I got to do this every night.
I honestly wish we could.
I do have to wrap it up. My brother, Tom, in Arizona, it's his birthday today. And
hey, buon compleanno.
Yeah, but buon compleanno. Unfortunately, Tom doesn't really...
What's wrong with him?
Well, he's younger.
That's true. That generation. Okay.
And, generational thing. But I do need to call him, and I do need to call him pretty soon, because...
Like now.
and for if anybody's listening that needs to know such things, I actually have right here in my other machine that people may not be aware, I've got five of them in this room going at all times. I have a copy from Netflix, shameless plug, of The Devil and Daniel Webster. And I am going to be watching that. And as a matter of fact, I may even sneak a copy of it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God, I'm not going to break the law, just for my own personal use.
Okay.
All
right.
I'm not going to copy it and sell it at a flea market or anything. RIAA, if you're listening, just shut up and sit down. But The Devil and Daniel Webster, if you've never seen it, Walter Huston.
Yeah.
This is important.
It's
American.
Classic.
As a matter of fact, New England, New Hampshire stuff.
Yep, I know. Daniel Webster.
I'm going to watch that this evening and talk to my brother. And I recommend everyone watch The Devil and Daniel Webster. If you can't get it at your local video store, get it on Netflix. I'll send my copy back tomorrow so you can have it. And, of course, heritage.org.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah.
Listen, I don't want to try and sound like I'm overstating this by any stretch of the imagination. If you don't read the Constitution, don't you dare argue with me.
That's right.
Or, for that matter, Amory.
Yeah, both of us. We'll find you. No, it's okay. Lou, why don't you take us out, Lou?
Come find us.
Why don't you take us out, Lou?
Listen, this has been a special edition of Political QRM because, we screwed up. But we don't want to end this by not thanking our troops, their families, our first responders, and God bless the United States of America.
Hear, hear.
Samson, speak. Good boy.